Dearest Heavenly Father, we come before Thee with great thanksgiving that we can be in Thy presence this evening. We're thankful, Father, for the safe journey that You've given us here on the earth to gather in this place, to be with those of like precious faith, our dearest brethren. We thank You, Father, for this congregation of people who worship You and glorify You and share a love for Your Word, for Your Son, for Your truth, for Your righteousness, and for Your love and mercy. Father, we come before Thee with humility because we know that we have sinned, and in the past, at least, we have fallen short of Your glory, and may even now some have fallen recently who are working to rectify that in their lives. Father, we pray that Your mercy may continue upon us and that You can receive the worship that we offer tonight as we repent of our sins and ask for that cleansing, so that we can stand before You and glorify Your most holy name. May our lives be holy and set apart. May they be kept for You and kept busy in Your service, full of the word of truth, the example of Jesus, and letting Him live within us as we learn about who He was, how He conducted Himself, and do the same. Father, we pray that Your glorious light will go out from us, that as we have received it and let it fill our bodies, and know that we have the truth living in us, that we can shine a light round about that will draw people to Jesus, and that they might also be saved, truly enlightened, and to stay that way, never be in darkness again for all eternity. We're thankful, Father, for times that we have like this to worship and glorify you in song, and the encouragement that we receive from a song like that, that we will make it home, that we can do it, we can be there, and that you will keep us all the way as we trust in you. Help us to overcome the temptations of this life. Let us not be beset by the troubles and tribulations, but help us, Father, to always recognize that these things are done to strengthen us and increase our patience, and to make us more faithful from day to day, and most importantly, to accomplish your good works here on this earth. We pray, Father, that you'd be with us throughout this rest of this service as we hear the truth from this lesson. We pray that the good and honest hearts may be touched by it to respond and to repent, to make confession, to make restitution with you as they repent, to see their life restored, and to be encouraged, Father, to be faithful in all that we say and that we do. We pray for those not able to be with us tonight because of sickness, and pray for their speedy recovery. And for those who may be traveling away, we ask for a safe return. And we thank you, Father, for hearing our prayers so often and bringing our folks back to us without injury or loss, and then restoring those that have been sick into good health. We continue to pray, Father, for Sister Holliday's family, and ask that her light still will shine in their lives as they remember her and her faithfulness to you. And we thank you, Father, for the encouragement that she has always been to us. But we are glad for her blessing and hope for the same thing, Father, that we can gather with her as she is now before your throne, serving you forever and ever. May that be true for all of us. And we pray all of this in the hope of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Abraham Lincoln had a quote that I found recently that reads, "I've always found that mercy bears richer fruits than strict justice." This quote struck me, and I immediately began thinking of the relevance to the scriptures. As you know, some people will make reference to an Old Testament God rather than a New Testament God. Of course, we know both of these are one and the same, but the main difference is God's interaction with man. People seem to focus on the swift judgment that God enacted. I believe if we look at this quote in the context of the scripture, the wording is very particular. Lincoln stating that mercy bears richer fruit than strict justice implies that strict justice can still bear fruit. Turn with me to number 16, Numbers chapter 16, in verse 25. Number 16:25. "And Moses rose up and went unto Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spake unto the congregation, saying, Depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed in all their sins. So they gat up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, on every side. And Dathan and Abiram came out, and stood in the door of their tents, and their wives, and their sons, and their little children. And Moses said, Hereby ye shall know that the Lord hath sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of mine own mind. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth, and swallow them up with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. And it came to pass, as he made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth, and swallowed them up in their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah and all their goods. They and all that appertained unto them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them. For they said, Lest the earth swallow us up also. And there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Eleazar the son of Aaron, the priest, that he take up the censers out of the burning, and scatter thou the fire yonder, for they are hallowed. The censers of these sinners against their own souls, let them make them broad plates for a covering of the altar, for they offered them before the Lord, therefore they are hallowed, and they shall be a sign unto the children of Israel. And Eleazar the priest took the brazen censers, wherewith that they were burnt, had offered, and they were made broad plates for a covering of the altar, to be a memorial unto the children of Israel, that no stranger, which is not of the seed of Aaron, come near to offer incense before the Lord, that he be not as Korah and as his company, as the Lord said to him by the hand of Moses. Here the Lord deemed strict justice necessary and right. Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, and the men that were with them, were in no place to question the authority Moses and Aaron were given by the Lord. While they went against Moses and Aaron in their eyes, they were truly defying God's judgment and establishing Moses and Aaron's position. This division and defiance was not to be allowed to last. God made these people an example, using strict justice, bearing the fruit that Israel as a whole will understand that God is the one leading them through Moses and Aaron. Next, let's take a look at Exodus 2. Exodus chapter 2. Exodus 2, beginning in verse 11. And it came to pass in those days, when Moses was grown, that he went out unto his brethren, and looked on their burdens. And he spied an Egyptian smiting in Hebrew one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out on the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together. And he said to him that did the wrong, Wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? And he said, Who made thee a prince and a judge over us? And didst thou kill me as thou killedst the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, Surely this thing is known. Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian. And he sat down by a well. During this account, Moses killing the Egyptian stopped him from harming Moses' brethren anymore, but it does seem to cause more trouble than it might have been worth. Moses had to run because of this, and it seems like it was a vengeful act, as it was doing after the Hebrew who was being hit was already on his way, seeming that no one was around. In that case, the deed was done. The only thing Moses might have stopped was more harm from that one Egyptian, so the fruit was minimal anyway and ended up causing more trouble than it was probably worth. Next, let's take a look at Genesis 33. Genesis chapter 33, beginning in verse 1. And Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came, and with him 400 men. And he divided the children unto Leah and unto Rachel and unto the two handmaids. And he put the handmaids and their children foremost, and Leah and her children after, and Rachel and Joseph hindermost. And he passed over before them and bowed himself to the ground seven times until he came near to his brother. And Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. And he lifted up his eyes and saw the women and the children and said, Who are those with thee? And he said, The children which God hath graciously given thy servant. Then the handmaidens came near, they and their children, and they bowed themselves. And Leah also with her children came near and bowed themselves. And after came Joseph near and Rachel, and they bowed themselves. And he said, What meanest thou by all this drove which I met? And he said, These are to find grace in the sight of my Lord. And Esau said, I have enough, my brother. Keep that thou hast unto thyself. And Jacob said, Nay, I pray thee, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then receive my present at my hand. For therefore I have seen thy face, as though I had seen the face of God, and thou wast pleased with me. Take, I pray thee, my blessing that is brought to thee, because God hath dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough. And he urged him, and he took it. And he said, Let us take our journey, and let us go, and I will go before thee. And he said unto him, My Lord knoweth that the children are tender, and the flocks and herds are young, and the flocks and herds with young are with me. And if men should overdrive them one day, all the flock will die. Let my Lord, I pray thee, pass over before his servant, and I will lead on softly, according as the cattle that goeth before me, and the children be able to endure, until I come unto my Lord unto Seir. And Esau said, Let me now leave with thee some of the folk that are with me. And he said, What needeth it? Let me find grace in the sight of my Lord. So Esau returned that day on his way unto Seir. Here Esau would, at least in Jacob's eyes, has sought justice by harming Jacob and his family because of the wrongs that Jacob had done him in the past. Esau seemingly held no grudge or felt wrong to the point of detriment for him. Esau chose mercy and wished no harm on Jacob or his family, even going to offer more protection for their flock. The fruit born from this was the loving reunion rather than a bloody massacre. And both parties went their way prosperous and at peace. Not only is this sound advice, but it's also the theme in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Let's read Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, as we've gone over recently in our class. Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 20. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if thou bring the gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence, till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. Jesus says not only to do not kill, but do not hold anger. Peace needs to be made and kept in order to live righteously. This would include also that if someone would have wronged you, you need to forgive, even if you can, quote unquote, justly have that anger. I put justly in quotes in the context of our earthly laws and from the perspective of worldly view. But Jesus has told us in Matthew 5, verses 44 and 45, to love even our enemies. And reading those verses, But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. And wouldn't that make more sense? If you keep in mind that we're here for a fleeting time, wouldn't you rather be at peace with everyone? Even if peace is impossible, there's nothing more any man might do that could stop you from being faithful. Even if they kill you, no man can kill you in any way that truly matters. One of the fruits mercy will provide you with is peace, which is an undervalued state of being. Peace will allow you more room in your heart for the Lord and more time for spreading his word. The peace that you need is first given when you give yourself over being baptized of sins to give life anew in service to God. If you need that peace, you need just to accept the mercy from God and be baptized in faith. If you are ready now, the time is now, and the congregation is ready to help you if you would come forward as we stand and sing.
Marvelous grace of the loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt, under on Calvary's mount of horror, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Grace, grace.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you again tonight, very thankful for this time that you've blessed us with. We pray that we spent it in a way that is pleasing in your sight. We pray for those of our number who are not able to be with us at the moment, whether it be for spiritual or physical sickness. We pray that you be with them and their hearts as we pray that they're able to join us next time that they can. We thank you for the freedoms that we have here in this country to be able to come here tonight and to look into a portion of your word and to not have to worry about outside influences. And we pray that that is able to continue here. We pray that you be with us as we leave this place and the comfort that we have here of fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, that we're always able to shine your light into this world, and we pray that we always look to your word for what guides us throughout the day. And it's in your Son Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.